Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I'm here once again with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And today we are going to lay ourselves bare to the world. And can you pause that so that I can turn the volume back up? Okay. We are going to lay ourselves bare to the world, and we are going to talk about discipline that Michael and I have received.
Mm-hmm.
Because we both just got disciplined.
Yes.
And it's worth talking about, because so often discipline is hypothetical. And in this situation, you know, and whenever you talk about discipline, especially if you're a steward, you're talking about cases, you keep things anonymous. You don't really want to get into the details. But my own discipline case, I will gladly tell you guys the details. And we're going to talk about how we're handling this, how we're approaching this, what this discipline means to us. And especially because, go ahead.
I've heard that this attendance discipline is going right, nationwide.
That's yeah, that's what I've been hearing mm-hmm. as well. And that's what you hear on other podcasts. Yeah, it's easily the number one source of discipline.
And management don't care about process.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Which makes it very grievable. You know, mm-hmm. you can definitely win these grievances, but the process itself is incredibly frustrating, mm-hmm. especially when it's you.
yeah. And here's the thing, too, is when yep. your branch doesn't yep. do very well on how to protect carriers on this type of discipline.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that concern yeah. of why, because Michael and I both right now are blackballed mm-hmm. within our union, within mm-hmm. our branch. And so neither of us are stewards right now. Mm-hmm. So we have to rely on other people to handle these grievances for us with direction. And the difficulty there is, you know, there's, you always, when you're a steward, you feel like you can make the best argument, you know, and that you're going to make your best case. And so that's essentially what Michael and I have done mm-hmm. is we talk to the steward and we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to handle it. Because I think in both of our cases, the stewards who have replaced us after we got blackballed have significantly less experience and, mm-hmm. and less aggressiveness and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you compound that with our formal A stewards. You know, if this doesn't get settled within the station at the first step, then when it goes to the next level, it's going to be our branch officers handling the grievance. And we have reason to be concerned mm-hmm. that they wouldn't give it their full effort.
Yeah, because they kind of blackball us.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so here we are, both of us at this informal A level right now, looking at these grievances.
Actually, mine's going up to formal A as of today.
Okay, I meant to, yeah. So we talked about Michael's. Mm-hmm. Michael and I talked about his earlier today, and I never got the end of the story. Yeah. So we'll get into that today.
Yep.
So you want to talk about yours first or mine?
Mine is going to be very similar to yours, except yours got rescinded.
Well, spoiler alert. Come on, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm better at this than Michael is. No, I had a much easier case too. Yeah. So let's talk about mine first, because mine is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have my letter of warning. I actually brought it with me to the studio, reading from actual paper here. Haven't done that in a while. And it is a notice. The subject says notice, letter of warning. And then it is to me, it was dated on November 3rd. We're recording this on November 6th. And I got my letter of warning. I signed for it yesterday, November 5th. So today is day one of the 14 days to file a grievance. All right. So it reads, in accordance with Article 16 of the National Agreement, you are being issued this letter of warning for the following reasons. Charge, unsatisfactory attendance. And that's it. That's the only charge. They didn't pile up a bunch of other bullshit charges, which, again, mine is simple. You know, this is easy. It's just attendance.
They're not really allowed to pile up a bunch of charges into one.
Well, I mean, dude, I've seen it as a
not
steward.
Not a lot.
You know, it'll be unsatisfactory attendance, failure to follow instructions.
Well, then it looks like they're punitive and not corrective.
It does. Yeah. And that's when
they'll lose more.
Yeah, there's ways to attack all kinds of grievances.
Yeah.
Right, because if they put four charges in there and mm-hmm. then you can prove that at least one of them is not a valid charge,
mm-hmm.
then you have a way to get it thrown out. All right, so for me, again, just mm-hmm. unsatisfactory attendance. Here we go. You have previously been instructed on your responsibility to report for duty as scheduled. A current review of your attendance record reflects that you have failed to maintain your assigned schedule. All right. So already I want to interrupt because we're going to talk about how we're attacking this. And in the investigative interview, which I did not bring with me, but one of the questions was, over the last month or whatever it was, you have failed to maintain regular attendance. Can you explain why you failed to maintain regular attendance? And so for me, as a steward, I had to tell my steward, like, dude, I need you to object to that question because it's prejudicial. Where they're supposed to be here to determine whether I was regular in attendance. And they're saying already that you failed to maintain regular attendance. And so they want explanations for each absence. So I'm still willing to give an explanation for each absence. But again, it's prejudicial. And here it is, right? Right in the charge letter. That the same thing that they prejudiced against me, that they had decided in advance, here it shows up in the charge letter. All right, then it goes on. Specifically, based on the case file, you were absent from duty as follows. On August 7th, I was absent for 8 hours. On August 22nd, I was absent for 8 hours. And on October 27th through 29, 2 months later, I was absent for 24 hours. And then, so they go through and they ask me about each one. So we'll get into that in just a sec. So it goes on. You attended an investigative interview on November 1st. You confirmed that you were aware of the requirement to be regular in attendance. Now, this is one of the standard questions that they ask in the interview. Are you aware that you must be regular in attendance? And my answer was, I'm aware that there's this expectation, but I'm not aware of any functional definition of what that means.
My answer is I do the best I can.
Yeah, that's fine too. Right. For me, I want to get it on record. They're like, this is an ambiguous term that means nothing. Mm-hmm. Regular in attendance. And they'll never define it. And if they do, it's arbitrary anyway.
That's why I like the word, I do the best I can to be regular in attendance. Yeah, that's fine
too. Right, right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I do try to answer their question. You know, are you aware of this requirement? Mm-hmm. And yes, yeah, sort of. All right, so anyway, going on. During the investigation, you acknowledged your absences, but did not provide an acceptable reason for your answer. You did not provide an acceptable reason for your absences. Of note, your absences were not covered by the Family and Medical Leave Act. This is the part that really pissed me off, mm-hmm. because I did explain each absence. So you guys, listeners to Classes in Mail, you know about the kidney issue that I was having, the kidney stones and the kidney stone pain that wound up being a fucking mass growing on my kidney. The two absences that I had back in August, that's what those were. And, you know, and I told him in the interview, like, dude, look on the 3971. I put on there what's going on. And management knows that's a real thing, that's really happening.
And they still issued you the letter of warning.
And they still said, yeah, that it was not, I did not provide an acceptable reason for my absences. How the hell is that not an acceptable reason? And I wrote on there, you know what word I put on that 3971? Incapacitated. Mm-hmm. That I was incapacitated because of kidney pain.
Yeah.
And they say it's unacceptable.
Well, here's the thing. The conditions for authorization for sick leave, mm-hmm. is you're incapacitated,
right,
to do your duties.
Yeah, exactly. And I made sure that that was on, mm-hmm. the 3971. Yeah.
And I write that in every 3971.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Or that you have an infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's also in the ELM.
Yes.
And so the 3 days, 1027 through 1029, I had COVID. Mm-hmm. And I let management know that I had COVID, and mm-hmm. there was no question about whether I had COVID. And I let them know in the investigative interview that I had an infectious disease, mm-hmm. which is specifically covered. So, and again, they say,
so do
I did
they
not
mention,
provide an acceptable reason.
So do they mention on M41 section 112.22?
Oh, we'll get to that. Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that. Okay. That one drives me fucking crazy.
But I have a rebuttal on that.
Okay. Oh, me too. Okay. Me too. All right. So let's finish out the charge.
Yeah.
All right. So these reasons are unacceptable, and all of that pissed me off. All right. Failure to maintain your assigned schedule is a very serious matter. The Postal Service must have available employees who report to duty for duty as scheduled to maintain the efficiency of operation entrusted to it. Go ahead.
So on that part, the CCAs were hired to take care of that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we're using leave that is part of our benefit, mm-hmm. then they should plan accordingly.
They were hired to take care of the people calling in sick and going on annual leave.
Right.
That's why the CCs were hired.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is management's failure if they fail to plan that people will use the benefit that they are being provided.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an Article 3 issue. Mm-hmm. That's a good call. You failed to meet the primary requirements of your position due to your unscheduled, unapproved absence from duty. Unapproved?
What's the...
These are not unapproved.
Yeah, these were approved. Yeah. Didn't you get all the stuff?
Yeah, I got 3971s. Yeah. I got paid my sick leave. Mm-hmm. These are approved. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, again, when you're putting together your case file, your argument, everything in here, you're going to pick apart.
Yes, it was unscheduled because you didn't expect it to happen.
It was unscheduled. Absolutely.
But it's still approved.
But it was still approved. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Okay. The following rules and regulations are applicable with this situation. ELM section 511.43, employee responsibilities, states, employees are expected to maintain their assigned schedule and must make every effort to avoid unscheduled absences. Mm-hmm. In addition, employees must provide acceptable evidence for absences when required.
When required.
Right.
Okay.
And it's only required when it's more than three days. Yeah.
Exactly.
And dude, they say that like I didn't provide acceptable reasons. They never asked for documentation because I never went above 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so...
Wait, when you had COVID,
yeah,
you were gone less than 3 days.
Dude, because I caught it at the end of my vacation. I was on vacation for a week. And so the first couple days of COVID, I was still on vacation. And I would have switched my annual leave to sick leave.
You should
have. But it was my long weekend. I was already off Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
And like the COVID hit on Friday.
Right.
And lasted until must have been Wednesday when I finally went back to work.
This is where to let everybody know that you can switch your annual leave to sick leave if you get sick while you're on annual.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So the other thing is like they ask about this in the investigative interview. Are you aware that you're supposed to make every effort to come to work? Mm-hmm. And my answer is yes, I do make every effort to come to work. And I have made every effort to come to work. Mm-hmm. And so to get that answer and say still here that I'm not making every effort. Well, then again, it shows that they're not doing an honest investigation.
Yes.
Because they asked the question. Yeah.
See, it is on discipline. It is management's responsibility to investigate the whole matter.
Exactly.
Okay.
They have the burden of
proof. Just because that somebody called in is not investigation.
Right.
That's not investigation. They're just looking at a form saying, hey, this person called in.
Exactly.
So what investigation did you actually do? Nothing.
Right. Because to say that I didn't have acceptable reasons, okay, what's unacceptable about it? Like, what additional documentation did you need? Because you never asked for any, you know, and I'm not required to provide it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what else are you looking for here?
Right.
And so the problem is, you know, what's really going on, and I know we've already touched on it a little bit, is that management is just doing this as a matter of course. There's not really any thought that goes into these. And in speaking to my supervisors specifically, they said, look, we don't even want to issue this discipline. We know that you're not abusing the sick leave system, but our bosses are instructing us that we have to, you know, attack sick leave and show that we're attacking it. And so to their credit, they were straightforward with me and they're like, look, this is going to get withdrawn, you know, immediately. We will capitulate to the grievance and it'll get withdrawn.
Yeah, because here's the thing is if they try to make this go to a higher level, they're going to just laugh at them.
Well, this is part of our concern, though, because Michael and I have reason to be concerned that we won't get full representation at the next level.
At our branch level.
Yeah, that instead of getting this fully rescinded, that they'll just say, oh, we'll drop it to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying that this is valid discipline.
Right.
Which it absolutely is not.
Right.
Okay, so moving on. The other ELM provision they charged me with is 665.41. Requirement of regular attendance. Requirement of attendance. Employees are required to be regular in attendance. Failure to be regular in attendance may result in disciplinary action, including removal from the Postal Service.
It says may, right?
May.
Not will.
Right. May.
May.
Yeah, so it's optional.
Yeah, the reason for it is that management has to prove that you're abusing it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, in this case, they could not.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is another thing that we attack.
Mm-hmm.
And
in fact, I don't know if there's any attempt discipline that management has proven.
It's tough, right?
It is. I've won. Do you know why it's so tough?
Because it's a benefit.
Because it's a benefit that we earn.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you know this.
That's why when our union agrees with management for 6 months and all that, that's all nonsense. Because it is extremely...
Because they're saying... Right, I mean, they're make no mistake, Michael. Mm-hmm. There are cases of people abusing their sick leave. Yeah.
They have to still prove it.
Right, but management still has to prove it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, there
right.
might be some carriers who's abusing it, but they have to prove it.
Right, and the first step of that for management would be to put you on restricted sick leave
There's a five-step process for that.
Right, exactly.
Before they put a carrier on.
Okay. And then the carrier has to provide documentation. Mm-hmm. And if they're not providing documentation, okay, now maybe management can make some headway with
that. And that's when they can start issuing discipline.
Exactly.
Because that's how it's laid out in the Employee Labor Manual.
That's exactly right.
Which and management does not like to follow.
In Article 16, too, is that... Mm-hmm. Is 16 also mm-hmm. is that you should make every effort to correct the problem right. before resorting to discipline. Mm-hmm. So before you discipline me for attendance, you should have put me on restricted sick leave if you think I'm abusing it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is extremely hard to do because if there's a five-step process, they never usually follow.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that can get grieved as well, mm-hmm. and they usually mess that up too. Mm-hmm. So, you know...
And that's something they also used as... deemed desirable whenever right. they felt like it. And
right.
trust me, they can't do that whenever they feel like it.
Right.
Either.
It follows, we've seen in grievance settlement after grievance settlement mm-hmm. that they have to meet the same requirements for deemed desirable as they mm-hmm. do for restricted sick leave because mm-hmm. it's the exact same end result.
Right.
So we would also attack this by saying that there is no functional definition for regular in attendance. Mm-hmm. And at what point did the carrier cross this threshold, mm-hmm. you know, what would have been regular in attendance? Is it zero? You know, and so on. All right. And then finally, out of the M41, ready to talk about this, section 112.22, diligence and promptness states, report for work promptly as scheduled. So when I grieve this, when I was a mm-hmm. steward, I would print out the dictionary definition of the word prompt. Because this handbook provision, in my opinion, is about being on time. It's not about calling in sick. It's like when you are supposed to be to work at 8, you need to be to work at 8 and not 8:10.
Okay. So this is something that I like to use as a rebuttal. Okay?
Yeah.
That was section 112.22, right?
Correct.
There is also a section called 112.4.
Okay.
Same section, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's the fourth line.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's safety.
Okay, go on.
Says, conduct your work in safe manner so as not to endanger yourself or others.
So if
management is telling you that that you still have to come to work when you're incapacitated, per se, right. that you had COVID,
right.
and they tell you to come to work with that discipline,
right.
so now they're not being safe to others, are they?
No.
And you, because you're not feeling well, and then now they're making you come to work. That's also not being safe.
It's
but
funny.
It says it right here in the M41 that we have to conduct ourselves
right.
for that.
Yep. So it's funny you mentioned that because I didn't tell you about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But also today, in response to this, I filed a 1767, mm-hmm. the report of unsafe hazard or condition.
Mm-hmm.
And for the location, I put workroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the hazard is potential exposure to infectious illness.
Mm-hmm.
Management policy that illness with an infection or that, management policy that being ill with an infectious illness such as COVID is not an acceptable reason to use sick leave puts carriers at undue risk of spreading and catching disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are they going to respond to that?
Yeah.
Because they're saying out of the one side of their mouth, even if you have COVID, that's not an acceptable reason. Right.
Yeah, it's not that's what the letter of warning means.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. I pulled that directly off the letter of warning. Mm-hmm. This is not an acceptable reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you're telling me I have to come to work when I have COVID.
Right.
Now it's a safety issue.
Right.
Yep. Oh, these motherfuckers.
Yeah. There was another issue. I remember, Derek, you know,
yeah.
where he almost died and he was at the hospital.
Uh-huh.
They gave him a letter of warning for being in the hospital, dying.
Dude. Yeah.
And then our branch agreed to 6 months because he was scab.
Oh, no. I'm not surprised. But okay. Yeah.
And this is why they're wondering why we go after our branch right. so much, because this is the crap that people have been right. going through.
Yeah. We'll talk about it in a sec. All right. This is the end of the letter of warning now. It is hoped that this letter of warning will serve to impress upon you the seriousness of your actions and that future discipline will not be necessary. If you are having difficulties which I may not be aware of, or if you need additional assistance or instruction for improving your performance, please contact me, or you may consult with your other supervisors and we will assist you where possible. However, I must warn you that future deficiencies will result in more severe disciplinary action being taken against you. Such actions may include suspensions or removal from the Postal Service. You have a right to file a grievance under the grievance arbitration procedure set forth in Article 15 of the National Agreement within 14 days of your receipt of this letter. The end.
Okay. So, Ellen got it thrown out because obviously what they were trying to do was very punitive and not corrective.
Right.
Because in reality, how can you correct this problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dude, and that was something that I always would ask when I was a steward, is I would say, what do you think the carrier should have done differently? Mm-hmm. You know, when they cite, you have to make every effort. Mm-hmm. I always make sure in the interview that the carrier says, I do make every effort. Mm-hmm. And then I'll ask when I interview management, what effort do you think the carrier should have made that would have prevented them from getting COVID, you know, or whatever?
So,
yeah, how is this an effort issue?
So I got the 14-day suspension. And right. I settled
yeah,
on
let's
it today.
Start talking about yours. Yeah.
And it's being sent up. Okay.
Okay.
And so we had this argument that we were doing. And I told him, I said, I feel at 3971. That's it. Said, I'm incapacitated.
Right.
And obviously, he's basically saying, I don't believe you. Okay.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, hey, you put on the interview when I interviewed you that it was my decision and when I'm incapacitated.
Right.
So if it's my decision, why can you believe what I'm saying. Okay. And this is what I said. So if I'm incapacitated and now that you're issuing me the 14 day,
right.
So now you want me to come to work when I feel like I cannot be able to drive or do my duties because conditions for authorizing sick leave
right.
is that if I cannot perform my duties, right.
Right. Right.
Because I'm incapacitated because I cannot perform my duties.
Right.
And so now, because you're making me come to work, even when I'm incapacitated, is that safe for me? So that's where Article 14 comes out. It is management's responsibility to make a safe working environment for all employees, right? And so I tell them, I'm like, hey, so how do I make this work? Because I do one way, I get punished. I do the other way, I still get punished, okay?
Yeah.
So if I follow your discipline letter saying I have to go to work when I feel like that I'm incapacitated to go to work, and I go to work not feeling good and get into a car accident or some type of an accident or somebody gets hurt,
right?
Then you're going to blame me for
it. Of course. You're going to get disciplined.
Saying that,
yeah,
you
no
should
question.
Have known that you should have stayed home, right?
Yeah.
But then when I stay home and I say I'm incapacitated, I get disciplined for that too, even though I'm using my earned sick leave that I got.
That is correct.
Okay? So I told him, I said, this is the word catch 22 comes from. What am I supposed to do as a carrier?
Well,
and you know what his answer was?
What's
well,
that?
Get FMLA. Okay?
Right.
It is maddening that management and our union thinks that when you're calling in only a few times, okay?
Right.
For you to get FMLA.
Right.
To me, the FMLA is when you get to some emergency situation where you're going to be out for a while to get FMLA to protect yourself from being fired.
Right.
When if our union cannot protect us when we're only calling in a few times, there's a problem. Okay. And so this needs to change because here's the thing. Back in the day when you were a carrier 10 years ago, when there was a tennis discipline happened, how many of those went through? Zero. Okay. You rarely saw even one go through.
I couldn't tell you, Michael, because I come to work. Okay. Oh.
Okay. Well, you know, I was a steward for 10 years. So I saw all these. Okay.
Yeah.
Almost not a single thing go through. Okay. It's extremely rare where anything goes higher. And those are the carriers who calls in sick 30, 40 times in 6 months.
Right.
Okay. Those are the ones that was going up at a higher level. Now, the carriers was only calling in like 3-4 times in a quarter, get thrown out because there's no proof that you're abusing it.
Right. That's exactly right.
The whole thing is discipline process. It is for management to prove that you're abusing the system.
Right. They have the burden of proof. Okay.
They have to have the burden of proof.
That you're misusing.
Looking at a 3972. Oh, you know, you called in sick.
Explain what that is for the 3972
listeners. Is a form that shows all the leave that you used
throughout
the whole year. Throughout the whole year.
And it has the dates on it, yep.
And they can look at if it was annual leave, sick leave, LWOP, any of those things.
Right.
It'll tell all that on the 3972 for the
whole
year.
And there's also the key indicator report, which has similar information.
Right.
Yep.
And so management will go through.
Describe that as well, because that's also
key indicator report will show you what was unscheduled, how much sick leave you have, how much annual leave you have, and so forth and so forth. And it'll tell you if you ever been in an accident. It tells you all that stuff on it, a lot more detailed about your record.
How much of a bad egg you are.
But here's the thing. Yeah, but here's the thing. They're not supposed to be keeping that record. Okay? Because anything after 2 years, they're not supposed to be keeping that record, right?
Discipline, I don't know about any other records, but discipline falls off after 2 years.
Right. Okay, so they're supposed to take all that stuff out. But either way, they issue in that 3972.
Right.
He's saying that I called in sick 16 times this year.
Okay.
Okay.
That this it seems sounds like a lot.
That seems like a lot in 10 months. That's one. Oh. That's 1.6 a month, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's almost 2 days
that
a month.
That doesn't sound as
bad when you do it that way. Yeah, but exactly. Here's the thing.
Right.
I had a flu that 1 week, which I was called in sick for 3 days.
Right.
So now you bring that down to 13.
Okay.
So that's 1.3, right?
Okay.
Okay. So 1.3 incidences per month.
Per month, yeah.
Does that sound excessive?
Well, I can tell you this. We earn 13 days of sick leave per
year. Oh, so I've used basically 13 so far this year. So
right.
You're if I call it any more, then it's more than 13. But here's the thing.
But to use the amount of sick leave that they give you as a benefit, and then to say that that's an inappropriate amount.
Well, but here's the thing is, if you don't use it, you can use more than 13 days, right?
Right. They tell you to bank your sick leave. Uh-huh. Okay, for what?
So that you can't even use it? Yeah. See? It doesn't make any sense. And that's where our union needs to do a better job. Okay. Now, I also have a 7-day suspension for attendance in process. It's at the DRT.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. So it's waiting. It is unadjudicated.
Right.
Right.
So I interviewed my the concurred official, which is my station manager.
Right.
Did you know about the 7-day suspension? He goes, yes, it's at the DRT.
Right.
So you knew there is a grievance that's still in process.
Right.
And yet you still wanted to give me another discipline on top of that.
Right.
That is called punitive and not corrective. Okay. And he's like, I don't care.
Of course.
Okay. So they are purposely doing that even though they know better. Okay. Because as you know, in Article 16, it actually says uneducated discipline. If it goes to arbitration, you get thrown out because something else is in process first.
All right. Okay? There you go.
So it don't matter what they do by management, it's going to get thrown out. Now, here's the one thing I wanted to add.
Go ahead.
Which I forgot because we just did a podcast about the
veterans.
Stuff, this is another benefit that I forgot to talk about. Okay. If you get, as a veteran, you get a removal, which I'm a veteran. So my next thing process is removal.
Okay.
So if I get removed, of course, I'll file with the MSPB like I told you
before. Right.
But the veterans actually still get paid while the removal is in process.
Nah, there you go. Okay?
That's a good benefit. Where the regular carriers, you only get 30 days.
Right.
Whereas a veteran, you get paid until this process is done.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. So if management tries to remove you,
it's paid vacation.
It's a paid vacation because you're waiting until it gets solved. So right now it's at the higher level at the arbitration that takes 2, 3, 4 years. You might be not working and get paid for 4 years.
And if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, through the MSPB, you don't have to be out looking for other work.
No.
Right.
Okay. So as a that's a huge benefit as a veteran.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, before we get out of here, I want to read the actual sick leave provision. This is ELM 513. 513 is sick leave. 513.1 is purpose. 513.11, sick leave for employee incapacitation.
Actually, I wanted to add something on top of that, but go ahead.
Okay. Sick leave insures employees against loss of pay if they are incapacitated and cannot perform their duties because of illness, injury, pregnancy, and confinement, or medical, including dental or optical examination or treatment. So there it is. That is the intended purpose of sick leave. And so to discipline you for using sick leave for its intended purpose is madness.
Yeah. Can I see the tablet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's where a lot of people don't know is the restricted sick leave. Okay. So restricted sick leave is a put in place by in the ELM for management to do the things correctly. Okay. And so let me see if I can find here. Let's leave without pay.
Oh, he's scrolling through my tablet. I'm scrolling.
Sorry, guys. It's hard to read his.
I always have it on dark mode, so yeah, that might make it. Did you find it? Mm. You want me to search for it while you talk about it?
Hit it on pause real quick.
Yeah. All right, go for it.
All right, so I found it. Actually, Alan found it for me. And so restricted sick leave, that this is where a lot of management does not know how to follow this rule. All right, so management doesn't
know. On the mic.
Management doesn't know how to follow this rule, okay? So in the ELM, on restricted sick leave, on 513.391, it says supervisor installation head with evidence indicating that an employee is abusing sick leave privileges. Okay. So that means they've already found proof that you're abusing the program.
Yeah. There's already a standard.
Okay.
Before they can even put you on.
Right.
Right.
And so once they figure that you are abusing the system, so then in addition, employees may be placed on a restricted sick leave list after their sick leave use has been reviewed in an individual basis and following actions have been taken. What that means is management has to follow these actions
before
they put you on restricted sick leave.
Exactly. Okay?
So let me read you the five. A, an absence file has been established on the employee.
Yeah.
Now, you know that management always now has a return to work package, whatever. That's really an absence file.
Right, right.
Okay, so they are allowed to do that.
Okay.
You don't have to sign for it, though.
Right, right. Okay. They can make whatever kind of paperwork they want.
Yeah, it's their absence file. They can do whatever they want to create that absence file.
Right.
Okay. So, and then step B, the immediate supervisor and higher level management have reviewed the absence file. You know, that's when they're looking to concur or whatever. Sure. They can do that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. C, absences during the past quarter. Oh, quarter. Not quarter. 4 months, not 5 months.
Right, not quarter. 2 years.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of LWAP and sick leave that the employee used have been reviewed.
Okay.
So the quarter, past quarter.
Yeah, the quarter.
Yeah,
right.
1 quarter.
Okay.
Now, no minimum sick leave balance is established below with the employee sick leave record is automatically considered unsatisfactory. Okay.
Right.
So, but they again, it's they still have to prove it in that quarter that you're abusing it.
Demonstrate that you're abusing it. Right.
Okay. And then D. This fourth one, the employee's supervisor has discussed the employee's absence record with the employee.
This is one that I've been really successful with grievances because they don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
When was the last time the management tried to discuss you about your attendance?
Right. Yeah. What did you do to try to correct this problem?
They lied to you and say they did it on your key action report.
Right.
But they just write that on there without even saying, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, which you, as a carrier, can deny. Say, look, that did never happen.
Right.
Okay. And then that's the important part. Okay.
Yep.
It's the fifth one. Is the very important part that most people don't recognize. Okay. The subsequently quarterly absences have been reviewed. If the absence logs indicate no improvement, that means no improvement, right?
Right. Right.
The supervisor must discuss the matter with the employee and include it in that discussion. Advice that if there is no more improvement during the next quarter, the employee will be placed on a restricted sick leave. So
there you go.
So when they decide to do this and you don't improve, then they get placed you on restricted sick leave. So my 7-day suspension I got, which they never put me on restricted sick leave. So this is a process the management is supposed to do before they issue any type of discipline.
Right.
Or are they doing that? Did they do that to you with the letter warning? No. They didn't follow any of these rules. This rule is actually placed in the employee labor manual for management to follow.
Right.
Because why do you think that rule was in this at the ELM for that?
Tell me.
Because we earned the sick leave. Okay. So they have to prove that we're abusing it before they can follow these rules. Once they realize that there is proof that somebody's abusing it, then they still have to follow this rule. And if you look at the E says that they have to improve the following quarter before they can issue another discipline, right?
Right.
So let's say the carrier called in 20 times and they imagine feels at that point that's ridiculous in 1 quarter. And they still have to prove, say, hey, you know, you did more than 3 days and this and that.
Right.
They were actually proving that, hey, this carrier looks like he's abusing it. But you have to discuss that with the carrier. that you're looks like you're not improving, yet that you're abusing it.
Right.
So at that point, they have to make the effort to correct the problem, which means they have to follow in quarter. Does the carrier improve or not? So since the carrier called in 20 times, the following quarter, they called in 15 times. Is that an improvement?
Of course. Right, right.
Exactly. Yeah. Per what's in the elm,
right.
That is an improvement. Right. So therefore, they have improved. They cannot issue any type of discipline.
Dude, that's great.
So anyway, you got to follow these rules, right? So on my informal A meeting, I tell my manager, our station manager decided to sit in for that, not the supervisor, which in violation, but whatever. And I told him, I said, hey, this is your job.
Right.
It's listed in the employee labor manual.
Yeah.
How to get go after a carrier when you find that they're abusing the sick leave.
Exactly. It's not like. Okay?
And you didn't follow any of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're telling us to follow these rules, but you yourself is not following the rules.
Right. There's a process. It's not like they can never discipline a carrier who abuses sick leave. Mm-hmm. They can. There's just a process.
The reason there's a process, because we earn the sick leave.
Right.
Okay. The reason that process is in there is in case they do find that you're abusing it, it lays out how to handle it, how to correct that behavior.
Right.
But is any management doing that? I don't think I've seen any of them follow that.
It's never happened to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And the problem is now we have like our branch and some other cities allowing management
to get habituated to the argument that, well, the carrier called in 12 times. Of course they should get disciplined.
No.
No. Management still has to do the right things.
And prove it.
Yeah, and prove it.
Prove it that the carrier is abusing it.
Right, exactly. Okay?
And same thing here. Here's another thing, too. Let's say carrier called in 200 times.
Right.
And then in one quarter, let's say 90 days. They called in all sick all 90 days.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The following quarter, they called in sick 70 days.
Right.
Is that an improvement?
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Okay. So they cannot issue discipline according to that.
Dude, I feel you.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the idea. They're supposed to improve.
Because our union has gotten to acting like they're the managers.
Right.
Saying that, oh, this guy is calling. And they're going by what they see and not by the rule.
Look, in fairness, if this goes, you know, I've never done arbitration. You've never done it. But like you hear Corey talk about it and some other people.
And almost everyone gets thrown out. Do you know why?
Because
they didn't follow that rule.
So this is, right, management has to do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, when it gets in front of an arbitrator and the arbitrator can see like, well, dude, you've obviously called in a ton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still that question of did management handle
follow
it the way
they're
supposed to? Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you get a weak arbitrator advocate, then you might lose that. But if you get a strong one who knows how to fight that with management doing their job.
Right.
You'll get that thrown out.
And this is part of that whole mentality of giving management no quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just roll over and say, okay, this kind of discipline is acceptable.
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
Right. All right. The last thing I want to cover is just a little detail about, again, what is authorized for sick leave. And this section in the ELM 513.3, authorizing sick leave. These are the instructions to management. 513.31, policy. 513.311, general. Sick leave will not be granted until it is earned, except as provided in 513.5. All right, no problem. If you don't have sick leave, you can't take it. Of course, you can take annual or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it is in the employee label that if you're out of sick leave, you are allowed to use annual.
Right, or leave without pay.
Mm-hmm. Or leave without pay.
Right, okay, so here we go. 513.32, conditions for authorization. Conditions for authorization are as follows. Illness or injury, if the employee is incapacitated and cannot perform official duties. All right, which is why Michael and I will put the word incapacitated on our 3971. Mm-hmm. And in the letter that I got from management that said that you did not provide an acceptable reason, where it says that my absences were unapproved.
When it was approved.
It was approved, right? Exactly. It was authorized. Okay. Pregnancy and confinement. If absence is required for physical examinations or periods of incapacitation. There you go. Next, medical, dental, or optical examination or treatment. These are all reasons why sick leave is authorized. If absence is necessary during the employee's regular scheduled tour. Next, for eligible employees, as indicated in 513.12, care for a family member. a maximum of 80 hours of accrued sick leave per year if the illness, injury, or other condition is one that, if an employee had such a condition, would justify using sick leave. So if a family member is incapacitated, if a family member is pregnant, if a family member has the medical appointment, whatever, it's specifically covered in here. And then finally, the one that I really wanted to bring up, contagious disease. A contagious
disease. Before we start that,
go ahead.
There is also such thing as dependent care.
Yeah. Okay?
A carrier gets up to 80 hours a year.
That's what it says here. Maximum maybe 80 hours. Right. Contagious disease. A contagious disease is a disease that ruled as requiring isolation, quarantine, or restriction of movement of the patient for a particular period by the health authorities having jurisdiction. COVID meets that definition. Mm-hmm. It is obviously contagious. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to isolate when you are contagious with COVID. And so this stuff is very specific. Yeah. You know, to me.
Now, go back to dependent care.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had it where management says, oh, they can't use the dependent care because there's no proof that you're depending, you know, caring for somebody.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. The dependent care, if it's, again, more than 3 days, you can still bring proof. Okay.
Right.
And so dependent care, you know, you're not covered like FMLA, you're dependent care, you know, da, 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 da. No, that's a program that's offered by the Postal Service again.
Yeah. And I want to talk about documentation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll go straight to the source on this one too. Right. Sick leave documentation requirements. It's 513.36.
Mm-hmm.
513.361, 3 days or less.
Mm-hmm.
For employee absences of 3 consecutive days or less, supervisors may accept the employee's statement explaining the absence. Medical documentation or other acceptable evidence of incapacity for work or need to care for a family member is required only when the employee is on restricted sick leave or when the supervisor deems documentation
and
desirable.
This is where management fights saying may accept.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason the word
may. But it
may,
also says it's only required.
Yeah. The may is in there because management still has to show proof and put you in risk sick leave. That's why.
Right. If you're on restricted sick leave, then right. Okay. Then they have
not
that.
Because of, oh, that may, they can decide whatever. No, that's not what it says. If you actually read the whole thing, there's ways to, when they have to allow, make the carrier bring that. Okay. Now, another thing that I like to add on the contentions when you're doing the, like the 14 day or whatever.
All right.
I also add M39 section 115.4. It's the mutual respect atmosphere. Okay.
Oh, sure.
And it is the frontline manager to maintain mutual atmosphere for the every right of the employee.
Okay.
Of mutual respect atmosphere and then the rights of an employee. So when they're giving you discipline for sick leave and all the stuff that all the benefit that we're using, are they taking the rights away?
Yeah, of course.
And that is the violation of the M39 section 115.4 because they are taking the mutual respect out because they're not giving you the rights to use the program that was offered by the Postal Service.
Benefit. Right, mm-hmm. Right. And disrespectful to accuse me of stealing sick leave or abusing it without evidence.
And when they're saying that, oh, I'm incapacitated, like, I don't believe you. So they're telling you you're a liar.
Right. Yeah, that's not mutual respect.
That's not mutual respect either in the fact that they're telling you you're a liar.
All right. Good job, us.
Yeah, as you can see, it's gone 43 minutes just on attendance thing of discipline. And it is a very important thing. I hope this helps some stewards to file that grievance.
Right.
And hope it gets some ideas to some of the carriers what is and what is not, what management is supposed to do.
Yeah. And hopefully what's an acceptable reason for using the benefit that you've earned.
And the employee labor manual that we're talking about, which is on 513.
Right.
You know, if you guys actually want to know what it says, go to Employee Labor Manual, read it.
I'll do you one better. Okay. So when I read from the ELM and what Michael was just reading from is my own document that I created. When I read the entire ELM for class as a male, I went through and made a Google Doc of the ELM where I copied out the provisions. I skipped over stuff that was in no way relevant to carriers.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it is all in this Google Doc, and there's also some annotations in there, some notes on it, and everything is in the Google Doc, and it's completely searchable.
You can see the Employee Labor Manual is for all employees of the Postal Service, not just the carrier.
Right.
And so some don't make any sense with us.
Online, you know, finding stuff that you need is not very easy because each section of the ELM has its own webpage, and it's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
So if you want this document, And you can just go into the search box and put in the word incapacitated, and it takes you to the appropriate section. Just send me an email. Classesmail@gmail.com. I'm happy to send it to you.
Right.
Cool.
And then restrict sick leave. That is an important process for people to know, because it's that five process the management has to do before they place you on restricted sick leave.
Right. And for that one, too, all you'd have to do is type in the word restricted, and it's going to take you right down to that section. You can read it straight from the source.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Michael, thank you for another excellent episode. Guys, everybody, thank you for listening, and we will catch you all next time.